Welcome to Cummings' Culture, and we're back with another episode, our first interview episode in a very, very long time, but here we go. We're starting off strong. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have none other than the lady that you're going to know and you're going to grow to love her. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to drag us out any further. Let's bring her in. Ashley Maven.
Hey, that was so sweet.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing, you know, we're going through life. That's the way everybody is doing. But let's start off with tell people who you are and just a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So, Ashley Maven, as you can see on the screen, I have a private practice that I help people all over the world overcome anxiety, depression, trauma responses, success limits, self-sabotage, all the things from the inside out with a totally different approach than a lot of what's offered mainstream, but highly effective. And I do what I do because I overcame a lifetime of suffering and abuse. And I had like all the diagnoses you could imagine, PTSD, generalized anxiety disorder, panic disorder, depression, suicidal, ADD, learning disabilities. There's more, I'm just not remembering them all. And I was told at a very young age, all I could do was like manage the symptoms of suffering my whole life. So in short, I was actually a horse trainer and a pro rider. And that had always been my dream. I was young and I was miserable. Here I am living the thing I said that I wanted my whole life. It's all I ever dreamed of. And, you know, I was still just struggling to get through a day. And I mean, I was very young, y'all, early 20s. And so I said, I can't live like this the rest of my life. I can't manage the symptoms. So I went on a journey to learn how the brain actually works for myself, just for my own transformation. And I put this horse trainer mind on it. It says, you know, if I know how to get a horse out of trauma and get them to a place where they're very successful, certainly there has to be a way for me. So through a lot of trial and error and tenacity and just studying, I found myself really immersed in a field called neuroplasticity, which studies how the brain creates new neural pathways, which is like new thought highways in the mind. And just through learning and applying stuff as I was going, I started having incredible freedom that I had never experienced in my life before, because I was born into a lot of trauma and emotional abuse. And then people started seeing so much change in me and naturally started asking me for help and everything. And then my path went on a crazy turn that I never expected. And I started helping people do the same and get free. So that's the nutshell of my life.
How many medications were you on at one point?
11 psychoactive meds is what I can remember when I tried to tally it up a few years ago. The height of it was 11, and it was a new medication to treat the symptoms of a medication. And it was unreal. Yeah. And full disclosure, I'm not like anti-medication or there's no place for anything. I can just speak from my experience, and I was over-medicated, and the medication, even when I was way less medication, the medication never gave me freedom. It was like, okay, something would feel better for a season, and then it would be like the next thing and the next thing. So
yeah, they gave me Buspar, and we've talked about this mm-hmm. privately, but yeah. It would cause my heart to do funny things, and it would cause me more problems than the problems it was supposed to be solving or not solving. It just masked it. And so, like, I think that in the world of medicine that we're coming to more realizations about things. Like, I've even seen that where dementia, did you know that the United States is the only first world country on God's earth that still refers to dementia and Alzheimer's as dementia and Alzheimer's. Like, yeah. I was with somebody the other day and they were like, oh no, that's type 3 diabetes. And I was like, what is it? And they were like, it's insulin. They were like, it's, wow. And so, wow. And it's just like, you know, maybe, you know, I see so many people struggling with stuff and like they get on medication and they don't get better. Like like I've known people that get on it and they almost seem like they're zombies and they're going mm-hmm. through life and they're not getting better. And it's like, well, I can deal with it. Well, I want to do more than deal with it. I want to live without it. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah, I totally agree. And listen, like, I'm not qualified to tell people who should be on medicine, what medicine, medicine, you know. But all I can say is I stay in my lane and I see incredible miracles. And often clients will come to me and, you know, I don't tell them not to see their doctors or take medicine or, you know, in the society we live in, that would just be foolish. Yeah. I just help them in the work that I do. And without judgment on all the other stuff, you know, that's not my expertise, but it's wild, the miracles I see. And I call them miracles because it truly is. According to our society, so much of what I see isn't necessarily possible or probable. There's a woman I can think of recently who's probably in her 60s or so, and she has, in her words, decades and decades and decades of depression. Nope. I have my camera on something. I don't know. I'm sorry. She has decades and decades and decades of depression. And she worked with me for 1 month and I didn't even know she was on medication. I didn't know anything, like literally of that. She didn't share it. And she said that her doctor took her off for antidepressants. That's 1 month, and she'd been battling depression for, you know, the most of her adult life. So, you know, I can't claim to treat or heal or, you know, in our world.
Yeah.
I just know how to give the mind strength and emotional fitness. And in that, amazing things happen.
Yeah. And so like you were talking about that woman, that's not the only testimony you have of people.
Oh no. I mean, I've lost count. I've been doing this over a decade. I was trying to figure it out. Maybe like 13-ish years or something, 14 years. And those testimonies are normal. There's one wild one. A woman that wasn't even functioning. She witnessed a terrible, tragic death of a child and for years was on like all these medications, but I mean, she wasn't even basic functioning. And she's fully functioning now, going after things that she's actually passionate about, living this like really beautiful, balanced, healthy life. And it's wild because a lot of people just wrote her off as, well, that's grief and you're traumatized. But, you know, we share the same faith and there's nowhere in the word in the Bible that God says, like, if something terrible happens, then you just suffer the rest of your life. God gave a message of freedom. So
it actually says the complete opposite.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like the Bible talks about, and then, like, I don't think that we really think of the Bible as a way of like, oh, the Bible doesn't speak about mental health. It absolutely speaks about mental health several times in there where it's where the Bible tells you not to be anxious for nothing. That's anxiety. You know, that's cast all of your cares upon him. Like that's those are some examples where the Bible talks about, hey, you're going to have some, you know, some stuff. And one of the things, like even what you're talking about, do you feel that like Christians as a whole, like we look at anxiety, depression, PTSD, all of these things. And a lot of people are so quick in the evangelical circle and more profoundly in the Pentecostal sect of Christianity, so quick to say, oh, that's a demon. And because I know people who have been told that, that's a demon. Mm-hmm. And I know somebody that he told me a story one time. He said he got up and he preached about, I think, what's that antidepressant drug, Zoloft or something like that? Mm-hmm. He got up there and he preached against it. And he was like, "Oh, you people, you ain't got no faith." And he was like, 6 months later, he was on it. And mm-hmm. so I think that, how does that make you feel? Do you see trauma from that with people as well when they come to you as Christians? Like, they've been told that, "Oh, you're demonized." And I don't know if they're like, I'm so hesitant about it because, like, I know what the Bible says. The Bible talks about renewing your mind. So mm-hmm. there's a way, like our emotions and our feelings, they're not actually ours. And I could go into all these, I could go in an hour on this about how those emotions and feelings, that old man, those are Adam's ways. And so we have to renew ourselves to Christ, but I could go into that. But do you see trauma from people who have been told that, oh, you're demon possessed or you're demonically oppressed and all these things? Because we know those things are real and we know that those things happen to people. But do you see trauma from people who have been told that and that's probably not even the case with them?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen that, all sorts of stuff, And I have a background in inner healing and deliverance. And for all my clients that are open to it, I actually pray for every client. As you know, when we connected, very similar to how I prayed with you, I pray over everybody. And so I have seen incredible deliverance. I have seen, the demonic that was harassing or whatever it was. But I haven't found necessarily for the majority that it's only a demon or only a this. It's like you're saying about renewing your mind. Some of this stuff, I feel like we don't mean to, but we come into agreement with it because the lack of mind renewal or truth that is there. And so as someone is building in renewing their mind, which is essentially what I do, utilizing stuff within the natural and the supernatural, this stuff can't be there anymore. But there's a lot of religious trauma and all sorts of stuff that I deal with. And interesting enough, there's a lot of people who don't want to hear anything about God or anything when they come to me, because they're in so much pain. So it's like, how could there be this God, right? And then when they move out of pain and suffering, they naturally start asking me about God. It's like they start experiencing freedom and joy and childlike wonder and start to believe. So anyways, I know I took that on a tangent, but seen that. But I've also seen incredible freedom from prayer. But I see a lot of people also who have gone through deliverance and been like, I felt free for like 3 days and then it all came back. And I'm like, well, I don't know if it all came back. I just don't know that you renewed your mind or made changes in the way you were running your mind. And I say it like this. Let's say someone went on a fitness journey and they experienced, all this new strength and fitness and whatever. And then they went back to their old ways. And maybe they ate like fast food only. That's all they ever ate. And they got no nutrients. They only sat on the couch and they go, why did my body go back to the way it was? I experienced it. And it's like, well, you didn't make the shifts and changes you needed to. So I see a lot of people get addicted to deliverance where it's like, oh no, this next thing, find the person to pray for me. Find the person. I got to pray. And then they're actually focusing on the enemy. They're not focusing on Jesus anymore and the freedom and following what he said to do. They're focusing on man and the dark kingdom, and they get trapped, I feel like.
Yeah, because I was talking with somebody, and you know, this is not something that's popular to talk about in like the church world, because you know, we're all supposed to be happy, healthy Christians, and no, we've got Jesus, and I've got a friend in Jesus, and he's got a friend in me, and you know, we're all supposed to be singing Kumbaya under a tree. And you know, but like here's the fact. The fact of the matter is, I know for a fact that 60%, if not more, of people who attend church deal with anxiety, depression, PTSD, childhood trauma. They deal with all of this. And at the end of the day, like, I feel like this is something that's not being talked about enough, is the renewal of the mind, because like intrusive thoughts, all of these things. And the Word of Faith movement, I want to talk about this, because the Word of Faith movement kind of deals with it, but in a way they kind of like what you said about how I need deliverance from this, I need deliverance from that, deliverance, 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 I need deliverance everywhere. And I think they get caught in that trap and they don't know how to get out of it. Mm-hmm. And so like, is that something, you know, how common is that? When I'm talking more along the lines of your Christian clients who come to you that are Christians, how often do you see that? Like people that are just deliverance, deliverance, deliverance all the time.
I think a lot. I see it a lot within people that come from that world for sure. And then an interesting thing happens where they start like studying demons, like, oh, this demon does all these things and this demon does these things. And don't get me wrong, it's good to have knowledge and wisdom. But when people start telling me more about demons than they do about Jesus, there's an issue. And I think it's just a trap of the enemy that keeps people in fear and exhausted, because it doesn't bring freedom. And I believe in deliverance, but I believe in prospering the soul and seeing life prosper. And the soul is, you know, the mind, the will, and the emotions. And so my, you know, neck of the woods in the kingdom, if you will, is exactly that, prospering people's mind, will, and emotions. And as that prospers, this stuff begins to fall away. And it doesn't mean that any of us are untouchable. Like the enemy was trying to mess with me last night, probably because we had this interview today, but it's like, it's not like, oh no, scary things. It's like, that was annoying. Go in the name of Jesus. And I'm pressing into the Lord. Like, don't distract me, you know? So I think, you know, not that I want a conspiracy theory it, but when you see the road of a lot of the mental health stuff out there and the bondage that people are in, and you see the enemy's tactics behind it, it becomes really clear that there's a lot of people in unnecessary bondage. And I don't think it should be normal that everyone's depressed and anxious and traumatized. That's not freedom. That's bondage. And we'll all go through emotions, but, and things, but, it shouldn't be a life sentence that we're struggling with. Like the Lord came to set the captives free. And I believe Isaiah 61 is a lot of how he uses me.
Yeah. And see, 3 John, let me look at it just so I know I'm quoting it correctly, because I don't want to misquote scripture, because, you know, you'll have somebody out there that's like, oh, you misquoted it. But see, John, 3 John 1, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers.
Soul prospers. Yeah.
And so like, you're like, for the people that don't understand this, that like, because I got, you know, I'm going to get to something else here in a second, but like, you're made up three ways, like the same way God's made up. You have a soul, you know, you are a spirit that is housed in that has a soul that is housed in this body. So you're made up. When God said, let us make man in our image, you're made up in that way. And so like, your soul prospering is so important. The renewal of the mind is so important, because I didn't really think that much about it until the last year, because I've never had to really face things. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I've never had, like, everything I've ever done, like, you know, you know, the guy who had the, you know, the King Midas, the Midas touch, everything you touch, you know, it is going to turn to gold. Well, like, that was my life. And I never had anything really go wrong. Everything always worked out the way I wanted it to. And so then the last 3 years, when I had all these things that I never had to face before, I never realized that my mind was just so, I was always focused on the good outcome and how things were going right. So when things went wrong, I didn't know what to do. And I just started thinking, oh, well, you know, I fell into those traps like we were talking about. Well, well, God must hate me. It's been a good run. This must be it. I'm going to die. And like, I think that people get caught up in that a whole lot.
Well, yeah, and they're deceived, right? And that's how the enemy speaks, is in deception. And if he can get you deceived, he can get you believing lies. He can get you all mixed around, for sure. And to understand that we are in a spiritual battle, but that the answer is the Lord. And I love that scripture about the soul prospering, because there's plenty of things that we're not, quote unquote, in control. But he gave us a soul to steward.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be on this journey, like a lifestyle of renewing our mind, of prospering our soul. Not just like trying to find a Band-Aid and then believe every crazy thought launched at us. Like, we're meant to take thoughts captive. Not every crazy thought we have is something we're meant to like talk back to and think on, you know? And so I feel like, you know, because of everything I had gone through, that the Lord gave me a really incredible vision of how deceived so many of us are when it comes to everything to do with our inner world, everything to do with the thoughts, the emotions we're running. We have, if you think of like a sailboat with winds coming, we're meant to decide where the sail goes. We're not meant to be like, well, take me wherever you want. And it's like, it's so wild. Even if you go read my testimonies on my website, there are stories of people being like, I came in to work on depression and now I have, you know, the most success in my business I ever did. And it's like, you know, these contradictory, like, growth in life and miracles. And it's like, what is Ashley just claimed to do everything? And I'm like, no, not at all. It's a real biblical principle happening. As their soul is prospering, their life is prospering. I don't have to know all these different topics to help them. I just need to know about the soul. You know, God has so much grace. I see it for people that don't even know him yet, you know, but it's still, they see evidence of this. It's pretty cool.
So let me ask you now, you were talking about you, and your horses and how you were successful at horse riding. Now, me and you have talked about that privately, but, so many people think that when they get, like, I've been there, you've been there. I mean, there's a lot of people that are probably there right now, that they think when I get this successful, I'll be happy. And it doesn't happen, because even Hugh Hefner, I read a thing about Hugh Hefner not long ago, and it's really shocking about Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner, a woman went and interviewed him. And they were like, you know, she was like, I can't believe they're asking me to go interview this pig, pretty much. And so she went and she prayed about it. And her husband told her to go. Her partner said, let's go. And she was a good Christian woman. And so she goes and she interviews Hugh Hefner. And she finds out that this guy is just a lost little kid looking for love. Like, that's the part of him that he could never fulfill. Is that he thought that this and this and this and this and this. Tell everybody about your story about that part, because I feel like there's a lot of people that think that if I could get rich, if I could get famous, if I could get this, if I could get that, then I'll be happy. And it, and when they get it, it doesn't work out for them because at the end of the day, they still got something that they just haven't dealt with.
It's true. I call it the if-then mentality. And a lot of people are living that way and they don't even realize it yet. So they're living for the if-then. So it's like, okay, once I move into XYZ house, then everything's going to be okay. Once I get to that job title, everything's going to be okay. And they live that way. And it's like they're holding themselves hostage to the thing. But once they arrive at the thing, nothing actually changes. If they're following the old patterns and the ways they've been running their mind and nervous system, essentially, they might find that they're in a deeper, deeper hole. And so I had this wild realization because as a kid, there was like a couple things that kept me hanging on because I was very, very suicidal, very young. And mind you, when I was 5 years old, apparently, I started telling my parents that I wanted to kill myself. And so that was the first time I was brought to a therapist. And then I saw that therapist, another therapist, psychoanalyst, psychologist, psychiatrist, psychotherapist, all the things. I saw the one pretty consistently and then others as well, all the way to my early 20s, to give you an idea. I wanted healing and freedom. Like I wanted it. I would go to these therapists. They would tell me to do something. I would do it. Like I wanted it so bad. Take the pills. You got it. Like I want to be better. And I just wasn't. I was getting worse every year. And so the thing I hung on to was one, my cat. I know it sounds crazy, but as a kid, I didn't trust anyone to take care of my cat. So I totally believe God brought me that cat because I was like, you can't die because no one will take care of that cat. So that little cat had me hanging on. And then my dream of horses. I mean, I was just horse obsessed since I can remember. And so I had this fantasy world I kind of lived in to cope. And I was like, one day I'll be like a full-time horse trainer and all this stuff. And listen, I was literally living my dream so young. It felt even way before my time. I was riding at the highest level of dressage. I had a barn full of these really fancy horses. Like I had all these clients. The students were doing so well. Like it felt like you arrived at everything you ever said was going to make life okay. And you guys, like, those times were almost like without the Lord, without now having given my life to the Lord, it was embarrassing when I look back. I was on so many medications. I was like, I don't know if anyone's done any street drugs, but you know when you're high and then you know when you come down from it. I didn't know that. I took the pills at the same time every day as directed. And so I didn't know my mind was being all crazy and pathological almost. And I just remember being like, wait, I think there's something like really not right here. And I had this moment where it was so hard to get out of bed. And I had a full day of everything I ever said I wanted. And I'm looking in the mirror and there's like a little shelf kind of thing with all pill bottles that I have to take. And then also all these ribbons that I've won. And I'm like, how does this make sense? It was like in that moment, I'm sure God was talking to me, I didn't even know it, but I was like, this isn't right. And so I didn't know God then, but I said to myself, you are going to figure this out or you're going to kill yourself because it's your early 20s and you're not doing this the rest of your life. And you know, for me, it wasn't necessarily an easy path because I a lot of trial error. I tried a bunch of stuff. I studied a bunch of stuff. I had doors fly open of things I didn't even have credentials to be a part of, you know, courses and classes and mentorships and things. It was wild. And I was just a sponge. I was soaking in and applying it. And then, man, then I got real freedom. And it's funny because everything I said I wanted to make me happy, these things, these dreams, they just become like the great extra in my life. But the core of me isn't held hostage to it. Like I do live in incredible freedom and joy. and childlike wonder. And I'm like not in bondage to these dreams anymore either. And I get to experience them almost more fluid in a way. Anyways, that's a tangent, but it's not like I had to give up the big dreams. It's just, it all started flowing, you know? And I enjoyed all the steps to them as well.
When you talk about, we're going to get to the scientific part here. Neuroplasticity. Mm-hmm. I hope I'm saying it right.
Yeah.
One of the things that I found, for those of you that don't know, I am a joy riser. And
you'll have to tell them what joy rising is.
Yeah, we'll tell them. Joy rising is a program that you can sign up for, and it has all different kinds of like it's not study things, but this thing has sleep. Help me here. I'm trying to think
sleep
of the word.
Stories.
Yeah, sleep mind. Stories. Yeah, and those are important. I didn't know that, but going back and listening, because you know I come from a Christian background, I always heard one preacher say in particular, and I didn't understand it, and I don't think he really understood it until he got older. Jesse Duplantis, not popular with a lot of people, but no, let me tell you. No. Jesse Duplantis says that every night before he goes to bed, he reads a verse of scripture. And the reason he does that is because he put something in there so the devil can't get in his head, is what, you know, his excuse was for doing that. And so I didn't understand that, but I always heard him say that. And I always heard some other people say that every night before they go to bed, you know, they either read something positive or they, read a verse of scripture or something like that. But explain to everybody what happens while you sleep in the subconscious.
Sure. So there is a thought about how the mind works. I'll put it that way. And that your conscious mind, your thinking mind. So that's the one that we actually hear our thoughts. That's the one that can do logic and reason. So 1 + 1 = 2. There is a belief out there that that's only, depending who you ask, like 10 to 12 or so percent of your mind. And that your rest of your mind would be your subconscious and your unconscious mind. And if you think about an iceberg, let's say, there's like a little tip that shows out of the water, but underneath there's this huge, you know, massive iceberg. And the thought is that most people are trying to make changes in that huge part of the mind that's actually running the show by just a tiny little bit of the conscious mind. And a lot of people get really frustrated. Even the people that have come from like the positive thinking movement or like think your way free. By the way, it's great to direct your thoughts. That's wonderful. But a lot of people were getting really frustrated because they always felt like they had to wrestle in their mind every single day. And it was a lot of work and they were exhausted. Well, in the field I'm in and what I've studied, the thought is that the unconscious and conscious has all these stories and beliefs and chatter that it's constantly running. And then by the time you have a thought, those are just little bits that are coming over to your conscious awareness. So when we have experiences or have gone through things or whatever it is, they start cycling. So one of the resources I utilize in the work I do is helping shift that. So for some of you might be too young that are listening to this, but if you think about a CD player, if you guys remember CDs, and you used to like fill it up with multiple CDs and it would be like a CD changer. And if you had it in your vehicle, you were like way cool because most people just had the single CDs. Anyways, you could think of your mind like that. Like it has all these CDs that it's default and playing. And like one CD can be like screamo anger. Another CD can be like so melancholy and sad and depressed. Another one can be like worry, fear, chaos, right? And so the mind's cycling through these CDs. But in the work I do, we actually put new CDs in for the mind. So we'll have CDs based on truth, based on feeling safe, maybe things that weren't taught in early childhood, to feel loved, to feel safe, nurtured, you know, whatever it is. There's even stuff about, you know, success and prosperity and the limits of the mind, any topic you can imagine. And we help the mind put those new CDs in. And then what's fascinating is they have found that the mind will gravitate towards what feels good when it has that resource. So a lot of people just don't have the resources. So they're on the depression CD or the anxiety CD or whatever. So what you're referring to in Joy Rising, one of the sections is my mind gym. And the mind gym is not hard. It doesn't hurt and you won't sweat. It feels really good. But one of the rooms in the mind gym is called the sleep room. And the sleep room has all these different tracks with different topics that speak the language of the unconscious mind, which is different than your conscious mind. Your conscious mind is the logic and reason. Your unconscious mind is believed to speak through like metaphors and stories. I personally believe that's why Jesus taught in parables, because it's how people learn, through stories and metaphors. So we see this evident at night when someone sleeps. Their conscious mind goes to sleep, but their unconscious mind never sleeps. That's why your dreams are so trippy. Like one minute you're riding a unicorn in the sky and then you're under the sea having dinner and then you shoot up out of the sea and then, you know, you're in your grandma's house and you're like in the dream, it all feels normal. But when you wake up, you go, whoa, that was so trippy, man. Well, that's because your conscious mind that has the logic and reason, it's asleep, but your unconscious mind is actually, the belief is, it's constantly running those wild stories and metaphors, and that's how it's processing life. And so a lot of people try to make changes there by like, okay, Ashley, you're beautiful. Ashley, you're confident today. Ashley, you're happy today. And but that's like the little iceberg. Everything else is running. No, remember how mom and dad told you you were too ugly and all these things? And remember that you didn't get this and that? And it's like, zoo, 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 zoo. And so you're fighting that all the time. So in the sleep room, there are these audios that speak in like stories and metaphors and ways for your mind to learn that it can choose to run new things. So they're like similar to like how a parable would look or something, but they're these sweet ways to teach the mind stuff that it might lack. How to feel joy, how to feel safe, you know, how to not have to choose to be anxious or panicked or, you know, whatever it is. And they're crazy powerful. They're so just easy. You just put on, just relax, and your mind gets something new to chew on and something to spin on instead of the stuff that's been hurting people. So long-winded explanation again, but does that clarify what you were saying?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it does. I was actually, while you were doing that, I was actually going over and checking out some of the testimonials. Now, if you want to check out some of those testimonials, you can go look at the bottom of the screen, and there's a banner down there that's scrolling across, and you can go to ashleymaven.com and click the testimonial section. Now, when we were talking about anxiety, depression, and all of those things, one of the things that people tend to forget is that anxiety, depression, they manifest as physical symptoms sometimes. And I can speak firsthand to that. I mean, they do. They 6 or so months ago, they thought I had a heart attack, and it wasn't. It was just a panic attack. And that was I couldn't even say that 6 months ago, you know, or the 3 months ago. I couldn't even talk about it because I would start going, you know, and so, but like, it's just like, you know, people tend to forget that these things can cause physical symptoms. So what's the best thing for someone out there that's listening? Maybe they don't have anxiety. Maybe they don't have depression, but they have a wife, a husband, a daughter, or a sister, or a cousin, you know, a relative, or even a friend that, or a coworker that has it. What is the best thing they can do to support them?
Gosh, that's a great question. Send them to me. No, I don't mean it like how that sounded. Gosh, I wish there was like a band-aided thing that would make it all better for them. The key is, I think, to approach people just with compassion. But when someone's very strongly triggered, whatever that looks like emotionally, something happens often where they go into a sympathetic nervous system response. That is your fight or flight. And when that happens, there have been really wild studies out there that have actually shown that the energy, because it's a survival place we're meant to be, the energy pools from the brain and even the digestive organs, and it starts to pool towards the vital organs for survival. So that means even part of the brain essentially would go offline, so people aren't thinking clearly. They've even shown that, again, one of the studies I was reading showed that the bones, like the space in the joints, would begin to contract. And instead of our bodies having this motion of out, everything came and the rib cage and everything started to close over the vital organs to protect ourselves. And so we can run fast from a bear or something, whatever. It's a survival we're meant to be in. Anyways, all to say, I share that, by the way, if anyone feels like tension, neck, or headache, it could be that someone, I'm not saying it's the only reason, but a possible reason could be someone's living what some we call sympathetic dominant. They're constantly in fight or flight, not even meaning to be. And that's causing all that pain because the bones are contracting. That's one idea behind it. Anyways, I'm sharing that so that people can have great compassion when someone's in that. They tend not to sound necessarily rational or like they have a good grasp of what's actually happening. And they can end up looping. They'll say the same thing over and over, even though you've tried to help them so many times and they just keep repeating. Literally, the idea is that part of the brain has gone offline into survival. So usually, despite what the emotion is, people need to know they're safe. And that's a really strong one to keep repeating into them, is how safe they are. That there are solutions, because the mind will start telling, that's it, it's over, there's nothing, you know, and it goes that way. There are going to be solutions, even if we don't know them yet. And if you think about it, if someone came in tunnel vision and they're like, oh, no, think about helping them put a spotlight back there. What would it need for them to go, okay, and think of that spotlight as hope. I'm going to be okay. There is going to be a way out. There is going to be a freedom. And just helping them put that light back. But also, I don't believe that it's appropriate for everyone trying to be each other's therapist or something either. So that's really just a like help in the moment, but and gives other people an understanding so that, again, that they can be more compassionate. But really, that person is going to need to go on a journey to build the new resources necessary to get over the troubling thing.
Yeah. And that's difficult. Like it's not easy. It's you know, I could sit here and tell you all day that, hey, this is easy, and you're going to sign up to be a joy riser, and in 24 hours you're going to be okay. And that's not the case. You will, like, within 24 hours I felt better, but it's a journey. Like she said, it's a journey. It's something that's difficult, but it's something that most people, and especially men don't talk about mental health. Mm-hmm. And men, like, if you see a man and he's quiet and he's just sitting in the corner, there's a reason for that. And the men don't talk about mental health. And so, like, a lot of things just get swept under the rug. And then one day something very terrible happens and everybody's like, oh, I didn't. How did I not see that? How did I not, you know? And I think that we've put a stigma on talking about, you know, topics like we're discussing right now about anxiety, depression, PTSD, and people, like, especially here in the South, they look at, you know, hear those words, a doctor or somebody tells them, hey, you've got depression, you've got anxiety, you've got PTSD, and they think, oh, I'm crazy. And they, and it's like they try to hide it. It's almost like I don't know any other way to say this, but hey, the show's coming, just culture. It ain't controversial, it's just culture. But it's almost like they get an AIDS diagnosis. Like, oh, I can't tell everybody. I can't tell anybody because people think I'm crazy. And so, like, I think there's a stigma around that that there shouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. A couple parts in what you said, like, one, you know, I'm not a medical doctor. I don't diagnose. Yeah. I don't claim to treat or all those things. But when I use these words like anxiety or depression or things, I'm using them as descriptive words to explain a feeling.
Yep.
And, you know, diagnosis have come with so much stigma, but I don't even look at any of that because it's like, okay, if someone is running their soul and they're feeling like these patterns in their soul and they're feeling unsafe, let's say, then I help them feel safe. Like, you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I don't understand the whole shame of anything to do with mental, emotional, but it is a thing in our society for sure. It doesn't have to be though. Like, if someone is, you know, like, hey, I'm not at the optimal fitness level. Okay. I'm going to join a gym. It's like, great. You know, and so I look at my stuff like I do like that. Like, there's just so not a stigma on anything because it's like, great, you notice you want to, like, have some mind renewal, prosper your soul, join my mind gym, like over at Joy Rising. Yeah. You know? And but I do tell people, to go back to what you were saying, if someone is in some sort of more extreme, intense, emotional, whatever, like I had shared with you, I totally recommend someone go on a one-on-one journey with me.
Yeah.
Because it's really easy for the mind to be undisciplined, take over, be lied to. And there's a lot I can do one-on-one that I can't do in Joy Rising, but all my one-on-one clients have access to Joy Rising. But Joy Rising essentially is a way that people who want to do stuff in a more like self-study and self-accountability can get access to resources and teachings and daily encouragement and my mind gym and all these things that they normally wouldn't get to have access to. There actually have been some really cool testimonies, and it's been, Joy Rising is designed to be a journey, like just something that's there to support you throughout the year. Not like a, excuse me, like, I did it for 1 week. My whole life needs to be fixed. It's like joining a gym or something. It's like, you got to keep going. You don't have to go every single day, 10 times a day, but like go a few times in the week throughout the year. That was the thought behind Joy Rising, to help build that inner world and have a place for that, because it just really doesn't exist in our world. But I want to encourage people, because there have been cool things that happen. There's this really special woman, on fire for the Lord, passionate Christ follower, dealt with so much intrusive thoughts and just anxiety and just torment. And she started having incredible freedom within the first, like, I don't remember when she sent me that message, like 2 to 3 weeks or something. We had another one overcome, debilitating depression within a few weeks. Another one who felt, in a deep hole and stuck and stagnant, is now like on fire pursuing like, you know, passionate biz ventures and, you know, all this stuff. So it's an amazing resource if you utilize it. But if someone is experiencing something that what they would say is more extreme, then I would say, let's go on a one-on-one journey that, you know, that because Joy Rising wasn't designed necessarily for that. But there's been a lot of cool things that I didn't even expect to happen through it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's that Joy Rising is great. Okay. So when they go to ashleymaven.com, mm-hmm. and they come to the landing page, of course there is, I should have had this thing up to where I could show it, but when they, when they come to the landing page, they're going to see more about you. There's a YouTube video that's embedded there on the website that they can watch mm-hmm. more about you. But if this is something that they want to sign up for now, I know, but there's a lot of people that don't, well, a lot of these people don't know. But Joy Rising, if that's something they want, of course they get, when they first send their information over to you and they contact mm-hmm. you, what happens then?
Yeah. So if you go to my website on the homepage, like Jeremy was saying, there's a video that shares more of my story there. You can look around my website. There's some more information, but throughout my website, you'll see a place where you can have a consultation if you'd like. And so you click that button, you fill out your info and it you schedule on my website. There's a small fee for it only because people would like book and no show and it was messing my schedule up. So I put just a little fee, but that fee can be used towards any one of my services. So then it renders the consultation totally complimentary. And then that way we can speak on the phone, or for my international people, we do WhatsApp and we can explore what's actually right for you. If any of my offerings are right for you, working one-on-one or Joy Rising. Or if you're like, yeah, I just want the Joy Rising thing right now, you know, then you would, there's a place on my website. You can go to Joy Rising, and Joy Rising is housed on an app for your phone or your devices. It's so easy. And you click it and you have all these different things. You have Coach Me Quick, which is daily encouragement, stuff to purposely focus on in the day. The classroom covers so many topics, mind, nervous system, all the things, but also like we're doing the Doer of Dreams now. We're talking about all about going on your dreams from the inside out. The Mind Gym, Awake Room, Sleep Room, there's Written Room. There's all these different rooms with different resources to go to. The Encounter Room, if God's your thing, go there. Really cool supernatural stuff happening there. VIP room, that's where I get to share the amazing experts in my life and stuff they have for you. So it's just really cool. I say it's like a glorious buffet. You're never meant to do the whole thing. I just keep adding to it. You just show up with your plate, a little one or a big one. Take as much as you want for the day, move on. The buffet never closes. Come back whenever you want. And it's just this really cool place to have a wholeness approach to prospering your inner world. So anyways, you can just sign up to Joy Rising without even talking to me. And there's a place to do that on my website. And if anyone has any more questions, you can email my office, info@ashleymaven.com.
And for the people out there that are going to ask the question, because I know a lot of them, we've talked about a lot about the Lord. We've talked a lot about the Bible and all that. You do not have to be a Christian mm-hmm. to sign up for this at all.
No, I work with people of all faiths and everyone's welcome and everyone's loved and respected there. And Joy Rising was just a place I could share all of my passions. There's even a place for people, if you have horses and love horses, I even shared stuff about horse training and horsemanship there. Like I literally, God showed me one place where all these things I intensely geek out on, I could share and help other people with. So take what you want, leave the rest. Yeah. And we have a great time over there.
Yeah. It's wonderful. And if it's something that you feel like you need to check more into, you can go to www.ashleymaven.com. She's also over on TikTok. All you have to do is search Ashley Maven in the TikTok handle. She posts videos over there. goes live with our good friends Mike and Stephanie sometimes as well.
Yeah, and Gene. Can't forget about Gene.
Good old brother Gene.
I was adopted into the God Squad, I guess.
Jody, I haven't seen much of Jody here lately on live. I text him every so often to make sure he's still alive and kicking, but you know he is. But anyway, if that's something that you feel, if this is, you know, something that you feel like you need, and here's the thing as well, you can join Joy Rising. You can, you know, you can do her one-on-one sessions, you can do whatever, and you can do it anonymously. Like, she's not going to post your, like, if you have a testimonial and you don't want it on the website, she's not going to post the thing.
No, privacy is protected. It's a personal journey.
Yeah, everything's personal. So if it's something that you feel like you need to check into and want to look into, you can go to www.ashleymaven.com and find out more info about Joy Rising, her personal one-on-one sessions, and so much more there. Ashley, I've had fun.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful. I'm pretty sure we'll have you back here on in the future, because there'll be some people that'll be like, well, what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And then I'll be like, well, we'll just have her back on, let her answer the questions.
That would be great. And I don't know if it ever works, but we can even talk one-on-one to people or pray for people. I'm open to whatever you want to do.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of Cummings' Culture. Remember, if you didn't like what you heard here today, it's not controversial. It's just culture.